Bible today and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, please. Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew chapter 13. We're continuing the series of messages on the kingdom parables of Matthew 13, the most important chapter in my estimation for understanding the age in which we live of all the chapters in the Bible. Matthew chapter 13. I preached last Sunday on the parable of the soils, what we usually call the parable of the sower. I'm preaching today on the parable of the tares of the field, what we usually call the parable of the wheat and the tares. But the apostles caught the drift of it, didn't call it the parable of the wheat and the tares. They called it what it is, the parable of the tares, because the intent of Jesus was to center attention here on the tares. You see, the first parable concerns the work of Christ himself as the sower. The second parable concerns the work of the enemy, Satan, also as a sower. And this is as important in understanding this age as is the first parable. In fact, you'll never understand this age from the time of the ascension of Jesus back to heaven, to his second advent to the earth to receive his people, and then to establish his millennial reign on the earth, unless you understand these seven parables. Now let me give you a clue. The first parable began with the words, "A sower went forth to sow." The second through the seventh parables begin with the words, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto." So the first parable started in a way that is distinct from the beginning of the other six parables that follow it, and that's very important. Now the reason for that is this. The first parable concerns the ministry of Jesus during his life in the flesh here on earth primarily. The next six parables concern the time after the ministry of Jesus in his life on this earth in the flesh, in this age in which we live today. And this age is called, the time of this age is called the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is in exile from the earth today. He is not here except in the spirit. He's not here in the body. He's one day going to be here again in the body. But in the body he is in exile. He is in heaven. He is administering the affairs of his kingdom on earth from heaven through the spirit and the spirit's work in the hearts of men. Now that immediately lets us know that you can count on some problems in what he calls the kingdom of heaven here on earth, because it has been entrusted into the hands of men who still retain the flesh principle and are still sinners. And so he's going to tell us in the next six parables, and this is the first one of those six, some of the problems that we can expect and some of the things we can think about those problems and some of the things we can count on doing and thinking and saying during this age of the kingdom of heaven, the absence of the king and the administration of the kingdom through the presence of the Spirit here on earth in the hearts of still fallible, fleshly, sinful men. And my subject today is, what about hypocrites in the church? And what about hypocrites in the church? The age-old question, what about hypocrites in the church? And what should we do about hypocrites in the church? I heard the story of a circus that had in it a man who owned a talking horse. Not exactly a talking horse. It talked by tapping its paws. And that means that it had to have questions that could be answered in numbers. And so they would come to town, and the act was that it was a religious talking horse. And here's what it would do. The man would ask, how many days were there to creation? And the horse would tap seven times with one of its paws, one of its feet. And next question was, how many commandments were there in the Bible? And the horse would tap 10 times. One of the questions was, how many fruits of the Spirit are there? And the horse would tap 9 times. How many apostles were there? And the horse would tap 12 times. One day they were putting on their act up in an eastern city, and some wiseacre cried out from the crowd, how many hypocrites are there in the church? And the story says that that horse went into such a frenzied dance with all four feet that in 2 hours it died of heart failure. Ended the act. What about hypocrites in the church? Well, let me read the account that Jesus spoke about hypocrites in the church. And this is one of the most important passages in understanding this age and in knowing what to do about it that you'll find anywhere in the Bible, but it sounds so innocent and we pay little attention to it. Another parable put he forth unto them. This is the 24th verse of Matthew 13. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man, which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. I wish that were written in large letters in your Bible. You see, what that means is that God is absolutely innocent of the matter of sin in the world. However else you want to explain it, don't implicate God, except by the freedom of choice that is absolutely necessary for God to have a people like himself, able to respond to his love with love and in faith. That's the only explanation you need to go far enough back to wherever you go to explain the presence of evil, but God is not implicated. He says, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, No, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now this is one of the two parables out of the seven parables in this chapter that Jesus interpreted. He interpreted or explained in this chapter the first parable and the second one. And this is one of the two. The other five parables he left without explanation. As if to say, I'm going to explain the first two and give you the gist of how to do it. Ask you to depend on my Holy Spirit, and then you are on your own as you depend on the Holy Spirit. Now that's very, very, very important. But we need especially to give attention to the interpretation he gave of those first two parables and see the great care with which he interpreted those parables. So I'm going to ask you to keep your Bible open and begin with me in a few minutes as we walk through this parable with the 36th verse and see his interpretation. Now, do not get ahead of me. Stay with me. I want you to read it with me when we come to the interpretation of the various parts, beginning with the 36th verse of Matthew chapter 13. The question is the world getting better or is it getting worse? Now, Christians have debated the answer to that question for all the history of the church. For 2,000 years, people have been asking, is the world getting better or is the world getting worse? There is a school of thought, quite liberal in intent and content, that says the world is getting better. Their ranks have been substantially reduced in the last 25 to 50 years, and rightly so. They shouldn't exist at all. There's another school of thought that says the world is only getting worse. And this is usually represented among the fighting fundamentalists. And that's all they know. Just to fight any view except theirs, and they say the world is only getting worse. Well, according to Jesus, the astounding answer to that question is that both are true. The world is getting both better, and that's hard sometimes to see, and it's getting extensively and intensively worse, and that's very, very easy to see. Both of those are true. Jesus said there are two kinds of sowings taking place in this world all the time in this age. Out of these two sowings, there come two growths that are increasing in manifestation all through this age. And they're going to wind up in a division where the polarization of men is going to occur not on the basis of social reality or sociological reality, but rather on the basis of their spiritual identification. So that when it is all over, men will either be in the wheat or in the tares. Now, he does indicate that there are categories in the wheat and there are categories among the tares. So that no two shocks of wheat are the same and no two heads of tares are the same.